This is an interview for the Maryland Historical Society McKeldin Jackson Project, June 7th, 1976, with Mr. Donald G. Murray at Mr. Murray's home on Bryant Lane in Baltimore. The interviewer is Ellen Paul. Okay, I think it should be working now. The little wheels are going around. Okay, why don't we go back? I'm sorry to do this, and you can tell me again about your background here in Baltimore.
Born in Philadelphia, and I came here for 86 months, and lived in Baltimore. Well, I suppose I went to school, and I had kindergarten at school 104. Then I went to 103. Where I finished the eighth grade. I went directly to Douglas High School in 1925. I finished there, and then I went to Lincoln for approximately over half a semester. I mean, a semester and about a third. And then I left for Lincoln. And I worked here in Baltimore. Gibson Island for the summer. And I went to Amherst in the fall. And I completed Amherst, that was the fall of 1930. And then I completed Amherst in 1934. Came back to Baltimore. And then I was in the heights or depths of depression, and I didn't have any money to go to graduate school. I had thought about it, but I knew that I didn't have money. I thought about Columbia, yeah, not Howard, by the way. I don't know why. But I didn't go to either one of them. I took night school work here for half a year, and I was, she's telling me to talk louder. you can edit this tape.
I think so. I think it should come.
Well, I mean, you can edit this.
I think someone may be transcribing it. So if you talk a little bit louder, it might help.
All right.
Because it would help them here.
Then I talked to several lawyers about going to graduate school somewhere here, so get some help. In the course of that, I was fortunate enough to run across Wave Eye Guys Now and Thurgood Marshall. And they were in a process of trying to get students into the University of Maryland Law School. So consequently, they got their case going. It was quite difficult in a way. We applied to the University of Maryland, of course. We had a hard time getting answers on them. We applied for them. Of course, the lawyers knew what they were doing. And they, of course, processed this. Mm-hmm.
Did they ask you your color on the application form?
I don't remember. They probably did, because they used to ask me. But I think that's just been one of those recent invasions, just cut my collar. But of course, they knew. They knew, you know, said that you'll have to ask a little more. Can't you intersperse this?
Oh, sure. Well, when they told you you couldn't go there, did they come right out and say that you couldn't go there because you were colored?
Oh, yeah.
They said that. Uh-huh. And what was your reaction? How did you deal with that?
By that time, I didn't have the lawyer almost complete, but I said I was willing to go along on the basis I didn't think that was correct. Correct.
And you were willing to fight it in the courts?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And who represented you in the court? Do you remember?
Yes, Mr. Thurgood Marshall. Of course, chief counsel was Charles H. Houston. And William Cosmell.
And you graduated from Maryland in what year?
38.
And when you graduated, were you the only black person there still? Or did
yes.
they let in? And after you, did other black people have a hard time getting
yeah.
in?
Calvin Douglas was next. He just recently deceased.
What do you know about opening up the nursing school? Do you know anything about that case, the McCready case?
Yes. At that time, I was another step to NACP. Meanwhile, we had been working on a law school, and they were gradually being admitted by, say, 45, 46. They had a fairly good roster, had a number of lawyers who graduated and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But in that time, they had never admitted anybody to any other department of the University of Maryland.
Just the law school?
Mm-hmm.
Just the law school at the time?
Just law school. And then they had tried to get a program going to admit them to all departments. And nursing was actually the first one they went to. Now, S. McCready was the first graduate. And with that case again, was like the University of Maryland law school case. They went through the same procedure. And you had to get her to go.
Now, they said in your case, the reason that they would let you in was because you wanted to practice law in Maryland, and the only place you could get a Maryland law education was at that school. What did they say for Miss McCready? Was that the same reason?
Same reason.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about Perrin Mitchell and his case?
Yes. He wanted to go to the social work department. He'd already met, you know, professors and so forth. And that was the same reason. Kids and ladies work on that. But by that time, the cases were pretty much covered. See, because it had Supreme Court, the Gaines case in Missouri, which had a Supreme Court ruling on that same situation. And of course, that was the University of Missouri.
I see. Why don't we talk about Lily Mae Jackson a bit? How long did you know her?
I would say since 1935.
Did you first meet her through the NAACP?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would
and
you?
Of course, I had known her generally in the community, mm-hmm. but I never knew her personally.
I see.
I knew her children more personally, see, but. One of you in school, but same time I was, a little ahead of me.
I see. Did she have any trouble getting into the law school?
Oh, no. She was admitted in 1950. As far as I know, she didn't have. Of course, I mean, I still had graduation, but by that time, there had been a number of graduates, including three at least judges.
What would you consider to be Mrs. Jackson's greatest contribution?
Oh, I think it's spirit and a working community. I mean, she was one of the few people I knew who could actually push people. I mean, and make them willing. And she gave so much of herself that she unquestionably had to go along with it. Not unquestionably. But she had no reservations. You felt that she was sincere, intelligent, and she'd help all she could.
You worked as a lawyer for the NAACP, did you not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How many years was that? Was that for a while?
Well, in other words, that was a situation where they would ask the lawyers, and usually you were working in a, of course, the grade and parameters were different, but you were on police brutality then, she'd come to you and ask you to take a case down the Eastern Shore, and you'd go.
And that was on a volunteer basis?
Pretty much.
Do you find that...
Now that's what you'd have to ask Rose about. A volunteer basis.
We would have starved to death if we had to depend on the NAACP.
They didn't help too much, huh?
No.
Not really. So see,
it was volunteer.
I see. You were talking about the brutality in Maryland. Did Mrs. Jackson ever defend a person who actually was guilty of what they had been charged of?
Oh, well, that, you mean, I think she actually believed that all those people had something on their side. Of course they did. They even should have been defended.
I see. Let me ask you about the NAACP. You worked there for a number of years, and you were a member.
Just locally.
Yeah, that's what I want to know about the local branch. Did you see any divisions in the NAACP leadership here?
At the very beginning, no. I suppose, as it grew and grew, embraced more people, more causes, there would be differences.
What would you cite as the reason for differences between the leadership?
As I said, when you had a question, initial leadership with Ms. Jackson, I never questioned and never got in a factual fight. But I said, she was the type of perfect person that you either went with her or you didn't go with her.
Did she get angry when you challenged her?
Most of the time, but not... Well, I never challenged her that much. I just ignored her. But I said, I prefer someone to challenge her. I have one that I challenged, but I won't go to that.
No, please do, really.
I mean, you challenge things on general principle. But I said, this was only one meeting, and that wasn't her meeting, actually, where I could challenge the city. And I was nice and narrative one on that. But otherwise, I never challenged most of her decisions. Because she had a knack of consulting with people who were in a better position sometimes.
How did she work with other black leaders like Thurgood Marshall and leaders of the Urban League and of CORE? How did she work with them, or didn't she? Was she running her own show?
Well, there again, when this first started, I suppose, it's a question of what she thought was the strategy of tactics.
Well, did she go along with them? Did they have meetings together and cooperate and consult each other and talk with each other?
When this thing first started here in Maryland, then you got excellent cooperation. Only later, I said, you have people are heads in their own thing, and I mean their own thing, and they would be different. And of course, different sometimes resolve, sometimes not. And of course, it's that when the base of this whole fight got larger, then of course he inevitably had differences. And when he had differences, were out there. But I should think, I could say that is just about it. Yeah, different place. But when the fight first started, you had almost complete cooperation with the Urban League and church units, church groups.
How did Mrs. Jackson first come to be president of the NAACP? Who chose her?
Well, I imagine they have board of directors and they elect her as the. And of course, he's on national board for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And I suppose they elected her.
I see. And no one challenged her presidency? No one ran against her all these years?
For the reason of the initial impact, I said, she was a force that comes once in so many years. In other words, she is actually a character in her own right.
What kind of person?
You didn't have too many people, Calvin and Roosevelt.
Right, that's right. What kind of personality was she? How was she to work with? Was she friendly, aggressive, persistent? What words would you use to describe her?
Two words. You use them both, friendly and aggressive.
And aggressive. I see. What?
And she's kind and patient.
She was patient.
With people she thought were, working.
Mm-hmm. How did she work with Governor McKeldin?
Now that, I was wondering how you got in these two areas. And you were asking me, mm-hmm. because Mr. Jackson I knew, but Governor McKeldin, doesn't know.
He didn't know him.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. Then I'll just ask you for your personal opinions about him then, okay?
Well, I think he worked very well with Governor McKeldin. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I wouldn't know him more than anybody else in the community just by reading.
Yeah.
Yes, he had a very strong interest and influence, and rightfully so, only church people, because they were, neighborhood church.
On church people?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And ministers would control that, as far as ministers control whole congregation.
I see. That's both black and white churches.
Yeah, I don't know about the white. I don't know how much influence she carried there.
How did she deal with white people? Did she want white people to help?
Oh, yes. See, because she's an old line NAACP. See, when they first organized, they would take help from anybody. In other words, Frederick, Mary Overton White.
Mm-hmm.
As a group, they are used to working with each other. Yeah. So that she was from the old school that got used to it. Yeah, of course, I should imagine she could work with somebody in over Ku Klux Klansmen.
What was the role of the Jewish community in civil rights?
Well, when I was younger and before I got in there, their rule was very strong. But I'm sure that for years she had close cooperation with the Jewish community. When I say close, that again, when you widen your base, you're in there running, people don't like your personality or don't like particular things you're striving for. But now that's where she would antagonize. Well, when I say antagonize, I mean they wouldn't agree with a lot of things. Just like I don't agree with a lot of things. But you have to admire the woman's spirit. And if you knew her well, then you could overlook like a whole lot of other things you wouldn't ordinarily overlook.
Can you recall any specific incidents or stories about Mrs. Jackson?
There again, I'm sure I could, but not right now.
What kind of reaction did Mrs. Jackson have when, in the 1960s, the Black Civil Rights Movement became militant? What was her opinion on that?
I don't know.
How did you react?
How did I react when it became more militant? Mm-hmm. Sorry for me. There again, some of the things did new.
Do you remember when CORE chose Baltimore to be a target city?
When what?
When CORE chose Baltimore to be target city in
1966. Well, yeah.
Remember that? Well, what was your reaction to that? Do you think Baltimore deserved to be chosen?
Oh, when there again, you've got a question. Tactics on their part. And I said, you have an old line of organizations say that you would reject some of the things that you come to the point.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that because of the truck.
I said, if you're an old liner, you would resent or not approve. In other words, just like you wouldn't approve my smoking. But you say, well, he's got a right to his own poison. And I said, here's a little different. You have you're working toward what allegedly is the same goal. But they say, well, this is too slow, let's go this way. And of course, then he had differences. But you don't have, well, at least I didn't have any reserve. But I said, some of the taxes I wouldn't approve them. I said, like my children call me conservative. So.
And I'll bet their children will call them conservative too.
Oh, sure.
Do you know anything about the Freedom House that Mrs. Jackson established?
Very little. I was pretty much out of it by then. But I'm sure, now see, that I think is a revision back to the older days. He's trying to get community to do something about the police brutality. I remember, I worked on that. For the course of the year, we had 367 items.
When was that?
Well, that was in the 40s.
In the 40s. That's quite a lot.
Yeah. And that's just in the city.
Do you know anything about Mrs. Jackson's real estate?
No.
In her office? Was she a good businesswoman, though? Did she run the office well? The NAACP office?
Yeah. And she's always surrounded by people, I think, who, if she didn't know, they could tell her. And I said, there again, you'd have to talk to somebody else. Yeah. Because it's...
How important were her children in this movement?
Oh, they were very important. Especially one of you. see, of course, was either my old Virginia law. But see, one either stayed here in Baltimore. She's married to Clarence. And when they work out 2 hours a month, she'd pick up slack. And of course, she's interested in lawyers. See, because I don't know what year she graduated from law school. But it was, I think, in the 50s, I'm not sure. The Sierra work had been almost vacant like her mother's had prior to that. And of course, all the children, her children, to some extent, helped them. Now, all Mrs. Jackson's children, Juanita's the one that stayed here most closely, most paid to her mother. And I suppose the same way, vice versa. She helped to child. When I say child, I mean Mrs. Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Jackson, as far as you know, what kind of background did she have, her personal background? Do you know anything about where she came from or what her personal background is?
She was born here in Maryland. I think she was born in Carroll County. I think she claimed some relationship with Charles Carroll. Uh-huh. Yeah, because her name was Carroll.
And where would you... Well, let me ask this a different way. Her family was never really poor, were they? Except maybe during the Depression.
No, I don't know.
Oh, I see. How did Mrs. Jackson feel about poor people? All colors.
Hmm?
All colors, poor people.
Yeah. I got the impression she felt sorry for all of them. Some she probably thought, they brought them on themselves. But she didn't feel, I think she felt collectively that poor people were in the same boat of all colors, which is true.
Why was Mrs. Jackson so concerned with liquor and zoning and the bars? Why was that a concern of hers?
Well, she lived in Maywood, I suppose. I mean, I think all people who've been in community leaders and so forth have a second sense about relationship of some business and so forth to the total community. In other words, it's like the city father say to the boss shouldn't be within 100 feet of a school or a hospital or something like that. And they feel that very same way. And of course they resent the fact that these bosses put them in their neighborhood. And of course, by the same token, they increase general disorder and so forth in the neighborhood. I don't. It's only that's important to everybody, whether they know it or not.
Do you remember the commission in 1943 that Mrs. Jackson was on?
No.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about some of those specific law cases that you worked on for the NAACP. Do you remember what issues they were about?
Well, man, one he had more accused of raping two old ladies. Who were they? Sisters of a mayor, somebody like Criswell Peel or somebody. And I remember we weren't too happy about going down on that one, but I said I didn't mind it too much.
Did you work on the cases and lawsuits to equalize teachers' salaries?
No, that was during the time when I was going to law school.
I see. Uh-huh. So that was before you went to practice.
Yes, that was Mr. Justice Marshall, I said, and in term, Charlie, he's, see, because after that case, then the national branch of the NAACP had Mr. Houston as special counsel in New York, and of course Thurgood went along with him as an assistant.
How about the Freedom Riders on Route 40? Did you ever defend any of those people?
No.
No. Did you ever take part in any sort of actions like that yourself?
No, I never got arrested.
How about picket lines, like at Ford Theater? Did you ever?
Oh yes, once, but not persistently, like for 5 years.
That went on a long time.
Yeah.
How about the problematic Gwin Oaks at the amusement park? Do you remember anything about that?
Just vaguely. I remember being very pleased and proud of the community. And of course the ministers who took part.